Don Berman, who is with the 10 o'clock news on KEGB television in Hollywood, has joined us. And Don, you were talking about this sniper in Washington has presented some difficult problems for those of you in the news business, right?
Well, it has made it a decision, a daily decision situation, Phil. We hold back in the news business, most of us, if not 90% of us, by mutual agreement. We hold back vital public safety information, even if it means putting a child at risk.
And now, that's the part that a lot of us are going to know what.
But hear me out, Phil. Because the public thus consumes and hears news at certain times of the day.
And those times of the day are your optimal news times?
Those times of the day are generally 5 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, and 10 o'clock. Those are our news blocks. Now, I'll give you an example. After 9/11, when the 9/11 attacks took place, most people didn't know really what happened until they heard it on the 5, 6, or 10 news block.
And because why?
Because that's when we maximize audience. And that's when they're watching. And that means ratings. And that means income. And it is a very difficult decision to make, Phil, when you have information that could help the public best plan its days around this emergency, and you hold back because you know the best thing to do is to report it at 10 o'clock. It's difficult for me to do, but I have to do that.
And why do you have to do it? If you've got news, you just said it, that is public safety information that could save a child's life.
Bill, you know something, and I said this the other day to Tom Brenahan, who I know you know, Tom, and I said I've made some mistakes. And I've made honest mistakes. And I have a very big nut at the end of the month.
And when you say nut, you mean expenses?
I've got big bills. And I have the child support, alimony. I look at a woman every day who was one of our reporters, Leslie Mitchell, who mothered my child. It is tough. But be that as it may, 5, 6, and 10 are the best times to hear news. And remember what our news slogan has been, Phil. And it has been for 25 years, which is one of the reasons why we've been number one consistently at 10 o'clock at night. And that, and most stations go by this, we decide what you'll hear on Channel 19.
And so if I'm hearing you right, you are giving us news in dribs and drabs.
No, that would be wrong. We get together at our news editor meetings in the morning.
No, so when I get the news, and particularly news around this sniper, you're holding back vital news, you say.
Oh, we've got some good stuff. We've got some juicy stuff.
Do you know who the sniper is?
No, absolutely not. We don't know anything the police don't know. And let me tell you something. What we've got is really interesting. I mean, it is good. We have got some sweet stuff, and tonight at 10, as a matter of fact, on our 10 o'clock report, Donna DeCruz and the Eye of the Street news team is going to lay out step by step some of the most interesting, and let me use the word, Phil, and forgive me, some of the juiciest, sweetest stuff on this sniper. I will tell you this. Don't allow your children to watch, and if you're watching, I pray to Jesus, and I am a Christian, that you have a strong stomach. That's tonight at 10 o'clock.
That doesn't answer my question, though. Okay?
Well, no. What we get to do, we do it.
You say you get together in the morning at a news editor meeting. In the morning, you kick around the stories that you say the audience should know about.
That is correct. We've got great stuff. It's tremendous. And I have to ask myself, is the public ready?
So do you have? Are you in possession of information about the sniper case that we haven't heard?
Oh, absolutely. So I would say most news gathering organizations do.
And you're not going to tell me why?
I have to ask myself, are you ready? Are you ready to consume this news? Are you ready, Phil Hendry or anyone in your audience, are you ready to hear what I've got to say? Because if you are, you'll tune in tonight at 10. If you're not, then I would say this with all due respect. Take your ball and go home to your mommy. Because this is for grown-ups. This is news. And the stuff that I've got this juicy stuff. We've got, Phil, I'll tell you right now, we have...
Can you give me a hint?
I can tell you, Phil, that we have over 90 hours of videotape, video and audio. We have notebooks full of quotes. We have got comments. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. Tonight at 10 o'clock, Donna DeCruz and the Eye on the Street team is going to roll it out.
That'll be tonight at 10.
Well, figuratively tonight at 10. I don't know what we have tonight, but on our 10 o'clock report, if we've got something juicy, and we've got some juicy stuff, we're going to give it out a little bit at a time. Understand, Phil, I can't be responsible for causing the consumers of news out there to begin to panic or whatever they're going to do. So I'll just give a little tiny bit of this consumer news at a time. Now, that's what I do as Don Berman over at Channel 19. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sure they work the same way.
All right, Don Berman is our guest, telling me some things that I find a little bit disturbing. He is the 10 o'clock news anchor on KEGB television in Hollywood. Our number here is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Let me tell you what I think is disturbing, Don. You said a couple of things. One thing was, you decide when I'm ready for the news.
That, unfortunately, is the case, yeah.
What does that mean, you decide when I'm ready for the news?
The stuff that we've got in our vaults, Phil, and at any given time in the news archive and in the records department of any news department, we have got news that could frighten you, put you into a panic, cause you to perhaps lose your perspective on the day, etc. I don't want the stuff I've got on the sniper. As I said, I hope you've got a strong stomach. And I don't know what you're going to do with the information once I give it to you. Are you going to act responsibly or are you going to act stupid? What are you going to do? I have to assume you'll act stupidly. Not because I disrespect my audience, but because I have to go to the lowest common denominator. Now, the stuff we've got is...
You keep talking about how good the news is that you've got, and you won't let me know about it, you won't let me hear about it until 10 o'clock tonight. And even then,
it's going to be small dribs and drabs.
Little tiny bits of it. Now, you said something else, which was, we hold back vital public safety information, even if it puts a child at risk, because you need the ratings at 10 o'clock. Is it my understanding that you fathered an illegitimate child?
I did not father an illegitimate child. The child was born out of wedlock to his mother, Leslie Mitchell, who is one of our reporters, and this was all in the news last year. And I have a significant child support and alimony payment, yes.
And so therefore, in order to maximize your ratings at 10 o'clock, you will hold back this news on the sniper till 10, and that could put somebody at risk.
I really resent you making it sound as if I'm selfish.
Well, it is. You are. I mean, you're not going to give me the news until 10 so you can maximize your ratings. You'll have enough money to pay your child support and your alimony.
We are holding back the news until we feel the public deserves it. Until we sense that the public is in a frame of mind that is intelligent, that they'll consume the news intelligently, and that they will go into the world and behave responsibly and not panic like idiots. That's why much of the news we have about this sniper, and let me tell you, oh, God, is it good, we hold back.
All right, Don, I've always been fascinated with the news business, and it's always interesting to have you on the program. I'll give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don Berman, news anchor from Channel 19 News, is with us talking about the information that they have in the news business about the sniper, and they got all kinds of, quote, juicy stuff on the sniper, and they're not going to let any of it out because they don't know whether we... the viewing public is responsible enough to get this news. He's also gone on to say that his ratings at 10 o'clock may be more important than a public safety issue. That's why they won't report this so-called juicy news until 10 o'clock at night. If you read the papers last year, he was involved in a very public palimony case with Leslie Mitchell, the news reporter, a child out of wedlock. He's got a huge child support and alimony money that he's got to pay. He seems to think that's more important than public safety. The question is, do we have a right to know the news, or does the news gathering agencies of this company, of this country, I should say, like his company, do they simply have the right to say, they'll hold back the news until they think we're ready for it. It's an interesting dilemma. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is The Phil Hendry Show. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I just don't think it's fair when you say you've got juicy news.
We've got some stuff.
Do you know who the sniper is?
No, we don't.
Do you know where he... Do you know anything about it?
No, but we've got some nice things.
Well, what is it, man? Why won't you tell us?
Phil, I have to decide as a newsman, are you ready? And you're getting anxious. I'd like you to calm down.
I want to know...
Calm down.
I want to know what you know.
That's better. I'm not going to release any news to anyone that is overly anxious, that sounds as if they're panicking, and might go out and behave stupidly, running around and sending emails to people. You see, the media made a big mistake.
Well, I don't send emails.
The media made a big mistake, Phil, letting people know too soon about 9/11. They couldn't handle it. So we're going to make the same mistake by letting people know too much about the sniper? I don't think so, no. We know what the American people can handle and what they can't.
The media made a mistake by letting us know too soon about 9/11.
Yes. 9/11 should have been kept back about a week.
What about the people in New York?
Well, the people in New York are going to know, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Farley on the Phil Hendry Show. Farley, go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
Phil Hendry, I think this guy is acting responsibly himself by not telling us what news he may have. And about him thinking that they should have delayed what happened on 9/11.
Yes.
That's even worse, because that 9/11, when they told us about it, just made people pull together. They didn't panic. They didn't act irresponsibly.
They thought that there was anthrax on their toilet seat. Come on.
People that would seem preposterous, and there was anthrax. What about the people that got infected?
But there wasn't anthrax. Some guy came into my office and thought that I had anthrax on my desk, and it was sweet and low. All right? You call that?
Well, you never know.
I'm gonna have.
You can't trust people just like that. After what happens, you expect everybody to be all like, oh, yeah, everything's okay.
Finally, my name is Don Berman. I'm the 10 o'clock anchor on Channel 19 News. You can trust Channel 19 for all of your news. And you don't have
I'm
to
not
worry.
Saying you can't. I'm
Our
saying it's responsible
street,
of you to be saying that you have all this juicy information and
I've
talking
got,
like...
I've got stuff that would... You sound like you have wavy hair. Do you have wavy hair?
No, I have straight hair.
You do. I have stuff that will curl your hair. I have stuff...
Well, why are you saying this if you won't tell us what it is?
I'm going to ask you
yes,
to comment.
Why are you boosting it just to boost your channel?
Well,
why are you boosting it?
Right, why are you doing that?
I told you. I had an unfortunate accident. Last year, I got involved with a woman. I never should have done it. I fathered a child out of wedlock. She took me to court, and she burned me down for $80,000 a month in
child support and alimony.
Yes.
You're saying that you resent when Phil Hendry emphasized that you were keeping this old to boost your ratings so you could pay your alimony and child support? You are acting selfishly, in my opinion.
No,
if you're boosting about this, just so you, like, I understand you have your payment.
Yes, sir. I do have a payment. I have an $80,000 payment to this bitch, and I say that...
I would like you not to use that language.
Forgive me, but she's one of our news reporters, Leslie Mitchell. Have you ever seen her? She's on the Channel 19 News. Her and Donna DeCruz are on the Eye on the Street team. Now, we dug up some stuff on this sniper that would curl your hair and lengthen your penis.
I understand this, but it's pissing me off the way you're boosting about it.
I agree.
If it's any, like,
I agree,
people
Farley.
Do care, and if you're going to boost about it...
Well, Farley, if you're
getting... on the show.
If you're getting pissed off, then I can't tell you.
Why are you doing... You're making us angry on purpose.
Because you're boosting about it, you're...
What do you mean boosting about it? You mean boasting about it?
You're boosting.
You're saying that you have all this juicy thing to boost your ratings.
I have got...
Get more ratings.
I've got juicy stuff, yes.
Then why don't you tell us?
10 o'clock tonight.
Tonight we're going to see
it all? How are you going to do it? If you don't want people to act like idiots, all you're doing right now is making them more anxious and making them want them more.
Yes, exactly.
People are going to act stupider if you don't, you're calling them idiots. You're calling your audience idiots.
Do you know, Farley, that Channel 19's own Donna DeCruz has won 3 awards for her Up With People segments, and you can't wait for that? You can't wait for...
Oh, who cares about the Up...
If you have information about the sniper, I want to know about it. I want to know if you have information of how I could protect myself.
No,
I'm in Miami right now. I don't know if the sniper's migrating. I could be standing in the corner and get shot.
It's nothing. Now, you see how anxious you are? You see how nervous you are? You're speaking rapidly. I was just about to tell you, and now I've decided I better not.
Okay, now you're starting to piss me off.
What?
The guy wants to know something.
Well, he's sobbing. He's talking tubes. He's talking.
Okay, would it help if I get calm?
What do you got? What do you got at 10 o'clock tonight?
Calm down, Mr. Henry.
What have you got at 10 o'clock tonight?
I think both you guys are getting your panties in a bunch.
I don't wear panties, pal. What have you got at 10 o'clock tonight?
We have a. We will leak it out in small spurts, and throughout the week we'll do a 5-day process, and then you'll see.
The guy is.
No, we don't know who he is. We don't have any information the police don't have. But we've got some really... Ooh, man. Have you ever had good buttery popcorn? That's what we've got. It's like a bag of buttery, salty popcorn.
You know something?
Okay.
No, hold on, Farley. This is a sniper who has taken people's lives. Don, you are a respected television newsman. I'm beginning to resent the way you're putting this. Buttery popcorn? This is a guy that's killed people.
You're making it sound like it was a good thing. He shot a 13-year-old boy before he went to school for heaven's sake.
Gentlemen, the Channel 19 10 o'clock news is your news leader. And you can rely on Donna, Leslie, and the entire News on the Street team. Frank Aspen with sports.
Will you quit doing a commercial?
Excuse me, Phil Henry.
Yes, sir.
You're saying we could rely on Channel 10. Why are you calling one of your coworkers a bitch?
I didn't call my coworker a bitch. You talking about Don Berman? You called her a bitch, right, Don?
I called Leslie a bitch, yeah. Phil Henry didn't say anything.
No, I'm not talking about Phil Henry. I'm talking about the reporter guy.
Yes, I did call Leslie a bitch, but only because she's the one that sued me for palimony. As a reporter, she's unequaled. As a woman, she's a slut, and I can tell you...
How can you work with this woman? You think she's a slut?
Because she's a dynamite reporter, and I respect her professionally. And if you saw Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer in Up Close and Personal, you'd know what I'm talking about, but I guess you two are just a little bit below that, right? Sir, I might remind you, Channel 19 gives you the news that will save your life and the life of your unborn child.
Yet, if you're holding everything
all
back
right.
till 10 o'clock,
right.
my
Farley.
Unborn child could die as of now.
And Lisa, by the way, screws like a dead fish, but she's a great reporter.
You know something? Farley, thanks for your call. What are you doing right now?
I'm with Bill Jennings over here. We're hitting some around at Rancho Park.
Oh, you're playing golf?
Yes.
Okay. My question to you was simply... Never mind. I'll go to another call here. Stephanie, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Stephanie.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Hello. I just don't like anything that man said. He's ignorant. First of all, everybody
thank
around here...
Thank you very much,
is,
Stephanie. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dania.
Oh, that's where the High Life Ronton is, isn't it?
What?
Isn't there a High Life Ronton there?
I'm calling from Dania, Hollywood. Remember where, like, 911 started, where they said all the guys came to Hollywood? They ate at Shuckums.
No,
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about if you talk about
if
this
you would
guy...
Make, see, you're the kind of person I wouldn't give news to because you're not making sense.
I make a lot of sense. You guys don't make any sense. That guy you're talking to is an
dollars.
Idiot. What?
Look,
made a lot of dollars, too. I did what you did,
right
okay?
Here's an example of a viewer, Phil, that couldn't handle any breaking news on the sniper because she's drinking her dinner.
Oh, is that so? I mean,
yeah.
I could probably figure out who the guy is before you could. Goodbye.
Okay, Phil, I hope you have that recorded, because she says she knows...
Oh, she doesn't know anything. She's juiced. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here with Don Berman of the Channel 19 10 o'clock news. He says they got some juicy stuff, but he doesn't know whether we as viewers can handle it on the DC Sniper. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I can tell you that.
Well, tell us anything, right? We're back with Don Berman, news anchor at Channel 19, 10 o'clock news. Don, you said you got juicy stuff. You're going to be reporting it at 10 o'clock on the sniper. Give us something.
All right, I can tell you this, Phil, and this is an exclusive. The police are currently searching for clues about the sniper case. Guess where?
I don't know.
In Tacoma, Washington. Now, that is a Channel 19 exclusive. More coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. But I can tell you something, Phil. It's way better most of the time when we hold news back because people can't handle it. I'll give you an example. We had a very rare occurrence of a tornado that moved through the Santa Barbara area. We knew about it, and we were tracking it on Doppler radar. We did not inform the people of the town, and as a result, 37 people died. But we...
No, wait. You did not report that the tornado was on its way to the town.
That is correct.
And 37...
Hold on for a minute. Our Channel 19 insider news scope tells us that 120 people would have died had we reported it. Do you know why?
Because people would have panicked.
Because people would have panicked, exactly. We saved people's lives by not telling them that a tornado with wind speeds of over 160 miles an hour was on its way to their town. Now, if you can believe that, it's true, absolutely true. We know news at Channel 19. And that's why our on-the-street news scope team with Leslie Mitchell and...
Yeah, that's the woman you called a bitch.
You know, Phil, I really think you got to watch what you're saying. I gave you a juicy piece of news. We're going to have more, and it's an exclusive.
All right, so you're telling me that they're searching for clues in Tacoma, Washington about the sniper.
You got it. Now, I'm not telling you anything else because I don't want to panic. A lot of people in your listening audience who I am not sure can handle even that little bit of news.
Well, what are they going to do with that?
They could panic. People in Tacoma may be running out of town. I don't know.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Norma, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman, news anchor at Channel 19.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a comment that I believe he's absolutely crazy. Who is he to say what the public in this country can handle and what they can't handle?
Well, I just gave you the example of the tornado.
That is so untrue. Do you know how many lives would be saved
untrue?
If the information was getting out?
According to the Channel 19 Insider News Scope.
Well, Channel 19, I don't feel would be very objective in that case.
No, objective? It would. According to you, it's better that we report the news, correct?
Correct.
All right, we didn't report the news.
I know.
And the reason why we didn't report the news is if we had reported the news, people would have been pouring out of that town, killing each other, knifing each other, running each other over with trucks.
Have you
knifing
ever seen,
each other?
Have
yes.
you ever seen information that they need more information about tornadoes? Because if people were warned, it would save so many lives.
Wait a minute. What are you getting at?
I'm getting at
listen
you need
to the lady
to get the
here.
Information that you
Why?
Need. You
you're
need
telling
to
me.
The information. That is your job as a news
Wait a
person.
Minute. You're telling me with a straight face that if a tornado is coming toward your town, I'm supposed to report it?
Hell yes.
Yes.
I want to know.
Well, I don't understand that.
I want to be able to take cover. I don't want to be sitting by my window and have
so
a tornado's glass.
I'm trying
I
to get this
I want to know
right.
that it's coming.
You'd much rather have someone knife you and loot your home.
What do you mean, knife her and loot her home?
If I
That's got nothing to do with the tornado, and you wouldn't know if that was coming to me.
No, but
what
please.
I'm getting at is I think you're holding this information back.
No, I just
to boost
said.
Your ratings for 10 o'clock
well, that's
for
the,
your
the,
alimony, which you have admitted, and that really is not the American people's concern, your alimony payment. What is
you know,
our concern?
You know something?
Is
you're right.
News.
You're right about that. But what am I supposed to do when this woman sticks her hooks into me?
You know what? It's not our problem. It's really not our problem. Other people have the same problem that you do, and maybe you need to see a psychologist for that, but in all reality, we want the news, and we can handle the news. It's not your job to tell us what we can and cannot handle. We can handle it.
Look, at the Channel 19 news team, Leslie Mitchell, Frank Aspen on sports, Donna DeCruz, myself, Bill Bradley with Weekend Sports, and the entire Eye on the Street news team is doing its best for you, Norma, not to panic you.
If I tell you
what I know, then you're going to get scared.
Are you saying that you have information that's going to scare us?
I'm saying I don't know what you'll do. These people I'm talking to right now, who are they?
They're my listeners.
All right. I don't know how intelligent they are. Norma thinks that I should report on a
tornado.
Obviously
more intelligent than you.
I don't think so. Not if you're telling me I should be reporting on a tornado.
What you should be, yeah.
All right. Norma, I know you can't take too much in. I can tell you this. The police are searching for clues. All right, here it is. The police are searching for clues in Tacoma, Washington.
You already told us that. Is there anything else?
Well, what do you want to know?
All right, don't act like an ass. Is there anything else?
You're getting very emotional.
What else is there?
All right, we learned that the sniper left an identifying mark on his note so that police know they are authentic. More at 10.
More at 10.
That's right.
More at 10 to boost your ratings.
Norma, I have an $80,000 alimony payment. It was in bed like a dead fish.
That's not my problem. If I could watch Channel 19, I wouldn't watch it because 5 minutes after you report it, it's going to be out anyway, and 5 minutes isn't going to make or break me.
Norma, the stuff I've got will give you a multiple orgasm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Norma, very much for your call. And by the way, I apologize for that last crude, stupid remark.
What are you talking about?
Are
you an idiot or something? This is a sniper case. They're murders. Do you understand?
I don't know. I'm a newsreader.
You're an idiot.
One more thing. The sniper has a distinguishing... Well, that's it. More at 10.
What did you say?
I'm not going to go into it.
Here is Eric on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say that anyone that withholds information should be charged with and tried for accessory to murder.
I agree.
Well, he's talking about you.
I'm not holding back any information that the police don't already have.
I'm including the police on this, sir. Anyone who withholds information that may save
Eric, are you trying to tell me that you're capable of handling the stuff I got?
Am I?
Yes, sir. Because I got some stuff that'll make you talk like you come from London.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Whatever that means.
I'm a truck driver. I've seen people dismembered in accidents. I've seen just about everything that you can see.
Can I ask you something? Do you watch Frank Aspen on sports?
No, sir, I don't.
You have never seen the Eye on the Street news team?
No, we haven't.
I live in Kansas, okay? I'm calling from a cell phone in Kansas. I'm parked on the side of the road.
Let me give you something. Do you know that Elvis Presley's dead? I'm just kidding. Listen, I've got some news for you, Eric. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Vince Lombardi can't take a crap.
All right. Now he's just messing with us. That's all he's doing.
Well, I tell you, if they do have something that could save anyone's life, they need to be charged.
That's a beautiful shot. I agree.
All right, Eric, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
I think that you're indicating here that you have information that...
Look at that. Huh? That's 300 yards.
Hello?
You owe me $50.
Hello?
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm right here.
So, you're going to mosey on into the news station later on with some juicy stuff that you'll lay out there, and right now you're having yourself a golf game. Is that it?
What is this, Nazi Germany? I'm not allowed to enjoy myself?
And by the way, that news about how the police are searching for clues in Tacoma, Washington?
Yes.
It's been on Fox all afternoon.
Oh, okay, so I guess that's not exclusive.
No, that isn't. Go find some other juicy crap.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Look at that.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
What?
I just want to give a plug for our Channel 10 News.
Go ahead.
Rather, Channel 19 News at 10.
Go ahead.
Everybody, don't forget to watch me, Don Berman, along with Leslie Mitchell, Donna DeCruz with our Up With People reports, Frank Aspen on sports, and with weather, gold showers. Now,
get out of here. How come those weather guys all have names like that? Dallas Rains, Bob Cloud, Gold Showers. I bet you there's a female weather woman in America somewhere named April Showers. What do you think? Sandy Beach. Just, it's marvelous. Okay. In Maryland, the FBI is confirming they're searching for a body in a... Well, they're not confirming anything. This is news from the Fox News Channel. FBI is searching for a body in a backyard in Tacoma, Washington, that they believe may be related to the sniper investigation. Montgomery County Police say the chief has canceled plans to make an announcement tonight. The police spokeswoman, Joyce Utter, says developments have come up that require the chief's attention, but she didn't provide details. Worried parents sent their children off to school with extra tight hugs, and others kept their youngsters home Wednesday. One day after police revealed a chilling warning from the sniper, that children are not safe anywhere at any time. As expected, investigators confirmed that a bus driver shot on Tuesday with the sniper's 13th victim in the three-week rampage. All right, so that's the latest. And I got to tell you, I understand a parent being scared, but I really appreciate a couple of people that I saw in the news yesterday morning. It was a man and a woman talking about how their kids are going to school, and they're going to proceed with their lives, and they're not going to live their lives in fear. And I guess it's a real easy thing to ask people to do. You may ask, okay, Henry, easy for you. You don't even live in that town, so how can you say it? Well, we sent our kid off on a field trip to Washington last week, right at the height of this thing. Our son, Chris, and all of his schoolmates went to Washington, went to Virginia. They were in Maryland. They were on a bus. They were traveling, school kids, looking at historic sites. They visited Gettysburg. They went out to Arlington in Virginia. They went to a lot of places, went into Washington. Was I afraid for his life? The answer is no. I'm serious. Am I stupid? No, I don't think so. I may look that way to you. I don't feel that way. See, I really don't believe that I'm so important in the overall scheme of things that when something bad happens, it's going to happen to me next. I don't have that sort of narcissism. It's kind of a reverse negative narcissistic sense that if a plane crashes, then obviously the one that I get on next is going to crash too. And if a building has a plane fly into it, then that means the next plane that I'm on, it'll fly into a building. You know what that is? That's a little kooky. Just a little kooky. And if I get into... I don't know. Let's say I'm walking across a parking lot, and because somebody else walked across a parking lot and got shot, I'm next. Now, you may not think that that's a kind of egotism, but it is. It's a form of egotism. It's kind of a negative form of egotism. But nonetheless, you think you're so important, you think you're so pivotal, and God must hate you so much that you're next. Your number's up next, or your kid's going to get killed. I love those people that will literally look at you and say, don't do that. When you shake your fist, a lot of times I will just for kicks shake my fist at heaven and go, God, go ahead and strike me dead. I bet you can't, right? You know, just kind of, maybe you've had a couple of beers and you've wandered out back. The game was boring. So if you wandered out back into a pasture that you've got near your home and your friends are there, don't do that. You'll get struck down lightning. It's never happened to me. It happened to a friend of mine. It didn't happen to me. A friend of mine went, God, go ahead, strike me down. And the lightning cooked him right there in front of me, but never me. So I don't think I'm all that important. I'm keeping my kid home from school. Oh, really? Why? Well, there's a sniper out there, and he could kill my kid. Really? Why? Well, he could, and I just don't want to take the chance... Well, let's see now. He could, and then he could not. He might not. You see, just because it happened to somebody else, look, some guy jumps into a shark tank and gets mauled to death. Oh, I suppose you think the same thing's going to happen to me if I jump into a shark tank. Do you see how small-minded you are? Just because a guy jumps out of a building and drops 80 stories to his death doesn't mean the same thing's going to happen to me when I jump. This is the kind of stupidity that operates out there. Just because a man taunts a live grizzly bear with baloney and has his face mauled off doesn't mean the same thing's going to happen to me. Of course it won't. I don't think I'm that important. In fact, a very dear friend of mine was mauled by a polar bear one bright sunny afternoon in Anchorage, Alaska. Well, I went out there and sort of floated some salami in front of its face. Not a thing. Just turned and ran away. You ought to try it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, where we take a fairly sensible concept and then get absolutely stupid with it, like we just did there. Just take your kids to school. Everything go be cool. Just drop the kid off and let him go into the class and just go about your day, all right? And if you feel really paranoid about it, put him in a little mini flak jacket or, I don't know, a helmet or something. Have him wear a bicycle helmet. Just don't let that stuff take over your life, all right? Now, look, we have a website, and it is a beautiful thing, and a couple of things are coming up on our website, the philhenryshow.com website. A, we're planning our second annual webcast. That's right. Second annual Phil Henry Show webcast will take place on December the 20th, Friday, December the 20th. Mark this down. You must be a member. You must have a backstage pass to get the second annual Phil Henry Show webcast. What is the Phil Henry Show webcast? Well, it shows us from 1 o'clock in the afternoon all the way until 7 o'clock in the evening Pacific, preparing our show and doing our show. You'll see how I execute all the characters. You'll see how I execute my engineer when he gives me a hard time. You'll see, in other words, all of the ways and means that we do our radio show. And you'll also see us, Janice and I, as we prepare the show, as we write the show, as we come up with concepts. Last year, during show prep, Janice, Dr. Laura popped in. Remember that? She came in. She interviewed me. You never know who's going to pop in during show prep, right? Who has popped in during show prep? Nobody. But you never know. Maybe somebody. Craig Taylor did. You can see all the crew, Craig and Chris and Janice, especially since they haven't given me photographs or bios for the website like I asked a month and a half ago for. So, except for Craig, of course. Now, so go ahead and check that out. That'll be on December the 20th, but you must have a backstage pass. Do you not know what the Phil Henry Show is all about? Do you want to get a sample? Well, we're going to have a free weekend coming up a week from, let's see, when's it going to be? I got to double check it. We have a free weekend, though, where you can log on and get all of our audio archives, our 30-day archive, our Listen Live, all of our webcast archive, whatever it is that is video or audio that you have to pay for. You're going to get it for free during this certain weekend that I've got to double check with Brian on because I forgot it. Okay? 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
A couple things about this Tacoma, Washington investigation the FBI is undertaking, looking for shell casings. You don't know if it was a or is a wild goose chase that this sniper has sent them on, or if it's something based upon some evidence that's turned up. But I suspect the police are professional enough and have dealt with serial killers down through the years enough times to know that they don't necessarily want to be running around checking out every phony baloney little lead that a serial killer who just wants to see cops run around and look stupid will give them. They probably have got something. I don't know what it is. But the fact is, and I'll continue to say this, and I don't care if people don't get it, to this sniper, to the serial killer, this is a marvelous game that he just sits back at night and claps his hands together and goes, oh, goody, goody, as he watches the TV and watches the cops scramble around. And in his mind, looking stupid. Is it a game? No, it's not a game. But to the sniper, to a serial killer, no matter who he is, that's exactly what it is. And as long as he feels like he's got the power, he has a reason to live. As long as he feels like he has got some power. These guys live for years maintaining some sense of power over their own lives. But it doesn't last for long, because sooner or later they lose their grip. They lose their grip because they were born without any conscience, or developed a psychology that has no conscience very early in their lives. And when you have no conscience, you therefore have no feeling. And when you have no feeling, you don't know how to act. Most of these people go through their lives mimicking the behavior of others. A good example of that was Ted Bundy, who smiled a lot, said all the right things, good-looking guy, was high up in the Republican Party in Washington State, worked on a suicide hotline. Why? Because he cared about people? No, because he saw that other people that behaved that way got places. If they smiled, worked on suicide hotlines, pretended like they were friendly, they got places. So Ted Bundy was able to make it through life to a certain point, faking being a human being, until he couldn't keep it together any longer. And you don't keep it together for very long. Sooner or later, you're alone with yourself, and you have no feeling, and you have no emotion, and you have no conscience. You have to feel. You want to know what it's like to feel. How do these other people do it? They feel joy, laughter. There's only one way for a sociopath like this, a psychopath like this, to feel, and that's to have absolute, complete power over another human being. I don't know why that is, but that's what they got to have. So they go out and they kill. Some kill slowly, like Jeffrey Dahmer. And he kept trophies, like heads. He wanted to create some zombie. Remember that? He wanted the guy to be his zombie. So that he could, every time he looked at the zombie or looked at the trophy skull, could remember the kill and could feel the excitement all over again. Some of them, when they kill, literally reach sexual climax. I mean, we've heard the stories, but this is, you got to understand, this guy is no different. This guy is getting his kicks now, watching the news of the police running around chasing down leads, watching the police dance to every little phone call, dance to every little note that he leaves. They dance to every little nuance that he may care to throw into this investigation. He is watching literally an entire country now dancing at his feet. It's power like no serial killer probably has ever felt before. And he's got it. He won't have it forever. They will catch him. And as he feels his power slipping away from him, as the cops close in on him, and the ultimate loss of power for any psychopath is in an interrogation room with a police officer, you realize you have no choice. He doesn't want to go there. He does not, let me underline it, he does not want to sit in an interrogation room with a police officer, because he knows he has absolutely lost the game. He has no power. They have the power over him. So this guy is right now going through a good time, but it's not going to last forever, and he doesn't want to get caught. Right now, if these cops are going through this field based upon evidence that they've gathered or information they've developed themselves, this guy's not feeling too good right now. He's feeling vulnerable. He's feeling encircled a little bit. And this is now just an opinion. The last thing he wants to do is draw attention to himself. So I believe, and I could be very wrong, I believe you won't see another person attacked. I could be very wrong. Could be very wrong. But I'm suspecting, and this is only based on the possibility these cops are in Tacoma based upon evidence that they've collected themselves. And if that's the case, the serial killer is looking at that and is feeling a little bit encircled. He's feeling a little bit compromised. He's feeling like he's under the microscope a little bit, that maybe they're closing in. And if they're closing in, if they're encircled, he does not want for them to catch him. He'd rather kill himself. So I don't think this is the right time, or he's thinking to himself, this is the right time for him to go out and take another, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, you got to understand, this is the way he thinks about it, another trophy. That's what it is in his mind. That's what the death of these people, each individual death, is simply another notch on his gun. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Now, You know, it's not like picking an NFL football game. Hey, I was right. You know, I'm just telling you this is my read, all right? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I could very well be wrong. But I'm gonna go right out on a limb here and say, if this isn't some wild goose chase that this guy sent the cops on, if they develop these leads themselves, the serial killer's looking at this and feeling a little encircled. He doesn't want to draw any attention to himself now. I don't know that this guy is going to go out and try to kill somebody else. It only turns the heat up. He does not want to sit in an interrogation room with police officers. He does not want to have anybody have control over his movement, his life, or his death. Because that's what he's all about, controlling other people's lives. So that's that, and that's what I think, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I, you know what? What's the fun of listening to a talk show unless you can hear the talk show host say something really dumb and, you know, come out on the other side with manure all over him? But I believe that that's possibly what's going to happen. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. And there's another little tiny bit of fun that people are having, and that's on the internet sending emails warning us of different things. And my good friend and producer Janice Ngaro got an email today from a girlfriend of hers who got it from another girlfriend warning women of a certain thing. I'm not even going to read it because these panic emails, I've gotten them at my home. Go out and tell everybody, right? And I crap can them. And I also sent an email to the person that originated it saying, if you send another one of these to my house, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to drop your computer monitor on your head. But it got me to thinking about Snopes.com. You remember Snopes.com? Remember when we got into that last year, right after 9/11? Snopes.com is a dynamite website. Snopes.com debunks every possible hoax, myth, urban legend, etc., that they know about. They look it up, they research it, and then they tell you whether it's crap or not. This particular one that Janice was mailed has not yet been checked out by them, but I have no doubt that it will be and turn out to be total utter manure. But as long as we've got our webpage up here on the variety of internet hoaxes, right, Janice? Would you call that an internet or a web scam? This was last April, huh? No, this was not last April. This is current. The government, this was a hoax going around that said the government is planning to read all of its employees' email in April. Crap. If it's true, I'll say it's true. If it's crap, I'll just say it's crap. Enfamil is paying $1,400 settlements to parents of children born between 1980 and 1991 based upon some baby formula hoax. Crap. Here's an organization called Citizens Against Breastfeeding, an organization that is petitioning Congress to outlaw breastfeeding. Crap. Here's another one that says, an Instructions for Life chainmail mantra was written by the Dalai Lama. Total crap. For $78,000, Coincidence Design, a company, will stalk the girl of your dreams to gather information on her. Complete crap. A flashing instant message sign is a sign that someone's trying to steal your password. Crap. Parents can obtain free $500 savings bonds from Gerber as part of a lawsuit settlement. Crap. Hotmail is about to cancel or charge users for the accounts of people who don't forward a particular email message to others. Crap. Which was probably started by some dumbass that was trying to forward an email message and nobody would buy into it. Instanticide. AOL is about to start charging for instant messaging unless an internet petition opposing the fee increase attracts 100,000 signatures. What? And on and on and on it goes. You can purchase human meat through a company called Man Beef. Forget it. Man Beef. Janice logged on to that thinking there were going to be some outstanding photographs. Recent study proves George W. Bush has the lowest IQ of all presidents. Bullcrap. One item psych test will reveal the psychopaths in your life. Bullcrap. Reality show on NBC will feature women being pursued through the brush by rapists. Bullcrap. Employee of law firm sends nonchalant message about replacement of a murdered secretary. Bullcrap. PETA has clad deer in orange hunter's vests. Bullcrap. And Congress has approved special insurance dividend payments for veterans. Bullcrap. Okay? And if you want to know any more, check out Snopes. And if they come up with this one that you got, Janice, we'll be looking. I'll be looking every day for this one. By the way, our free website weekend, check out the Phil Henry Show, our audio archives, everything. November 22nd through the 24th, you can log on to our website. Everything is free that day. We have an extensive audio archive with the highest quality audio, extensive archive of full shows going back 30 days with the highest quality audio. We've got our webcast archive, and coming up, of course, December 20th, another webcast. That's the 22nd of November through the 24th of November. It's the free website weekend here on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We will be back with more crap.
This is The Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
They got a guy on Fox at night, maybe it's CNN, and he is a retired general. And they asked him, who do you think is behind this sniper attack in Washington? And he said he believes it is some paramilitary organization, and they're doing reconnaissance to find out how well they can terrorize a city, and then they'll break out and do more. And I sat there, and I have no military experience whatsoever. I have no police experience whatsoever, and I sat there and I felt sorry for that guy, because he sounded like an imbecile. Now, what do you think about that? This guy's a former general. He's a former military man, and they're asking him, based upon your experience, what do you think this sniper is? I think it's a reconnaissance by a paramilitary organization. I think it's more than one person. He may be right about that, I don't know. Because serial murderers do travel in pairs at times. Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, they were a real team. Otis Toole. They used to tool each other. All right, so anyway, I sat and I listened to this guy, and I said, here's Phil Henry sitting here, and I'm eating, I forget what I was eating, but it was something like a hummus that my wife had made, full garlic hummus, and I'm sort of sticking my fingers in peanut butter, and I felt sorry for the guy because I thought he sounded like an utter and complete clod. With this dumb, dumb analysis. Well, while we worry about the sniper, there's other scumbags to worry about. This is one of those encounters of the wrong kind. Steven Spielberg got a restraining order against a California woman who was allegedly stalking him and claimed the filmmaker implanted a mind control device inside of her brain. Court papers filed by Spielberg's lawyers and obtained by People.com allege that 47-year-old Diana Louisa Napolis posed a serious risk of violent confrontation after the woman said she intended to contact Spielberg at an unspecified movie premiere because she believes he planted something in his brain. Spielberg wants her kept away from him. And I think Mr. Spielberg's got a lot to answer for. You stick someone in somebody's brain, something in someone's brain, pal, you do confront them. Or maybe it wasn't something you stuck in her brain. She also admitted passing out flyers at the September 19th premiere of The Tuxedo. That's sure to draw a crowd. In Los Angeles and outside the Latin Grammy Awards, stating Spielberg was acting like Big Brother and monitoring a woman, Napolis, who had a devastating encounter with extraterrestrials. What's wrong with Steven Spielberg? Why can't he leave people alone? Here's another news story. Now, these are really just bits of historic observation on other snipers, serial killers, etc., and the things that they said. The sniper, this one, said, I am, dear Mr. Policeman, I am God. I don't know what else he said on his notes other than the children are at risk anytime, anywhere. The lipstick killer, this is the guy who was a Chicago serial killer back in the late 40s. He said, for heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more. I cannot control myself, said the message scrawled in lipstick on a wall in the home of one of the Chicago killer's victims in 1946. Another victim family was sent a letter demanding $20,000 in ransom. William Hearns was arrested for the murder of a girl and two women after being caught breaking into an apartment. His fingerprints matched those on the ransom note. The Zodiac Killer. He said, quote, I get awfully lonely when I'm ignored. So lonely, I could do my thing. The Zodiac Killer of San Francisco said this in one of many letters, cards, phone calls, and ciphers in the 1960s and 70s, the killer of at least six people and possibly many more was never caught. The messages mainly taunted police and conveyed details only the killer could have known. The Wichita Killer said, quote, "How about some name for me? It's time. Seven down and many more to go." So said the killer of four members of a Wichita, Kansas family and at least three other people in the 1970s. His first letter was found in a textbook at a public library. He went on to send poems and called police with details of one slang. He wanted to be called BTK for bind, torture, and kill. The communique sent police down wrong paths and the case remains unsolved. So that's some of the real interesting stuff. The Happy Face Killer killed Tanya Bennett in Portland. Two people got the blame. He said, "Two people got the blame, so I can kill again." And this was in Portland in April of 1990. You know, these guys rambled and it doesn't mean anything. It's kind of like a lot of talk shows. Kind of like this one, this hour, as a matter of fact. Where are we going here? I tell you what we'll do. We'll play another round of...
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not breaking. We're going to play another round of... I just thought to see if Craig was awake. Have you got a pair? And how big is the pair you got? You call us at 1-800-449-8686. And we're going to ask you to name... Take two callers, and we will ask you to name... in 60 seconds, as many of these things as you possibly can. The winner gets a Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. The number is 1-800-449-8686. You'll have 60 seconds to name as many of these things as you possibly can, and we won't tell you what those things are until we come back on the air. So we'll take a little bit of a break from the serial murder, torture, mayhem, Zodiac, weepy voice killer, and whatever the hell else they got. And take your phone calls here, 1-800-449-8686. I also got a story here about the anthrax guy and how I hit that one right on the head, baby. I'm telling you, I don't know jack about anything, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm never wrong. Who was the guy that said it was a domestic job? The anthrax killer. Who was he? You got it, me. Now the FBI is closing in on that scientist. They got bloodhounds that are leading the way to that guy, that Hatfield guy. So we got some stuff on that coming up. 1-800-449-8686. You want to win a Jay Santo Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Go.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
All right, here we go. I got on the line here. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, hey.
Okay, how you doing? And is this Kevin?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, now listen to what you guys got to do here. In the next 60 seconds, I want you guys to name as many mixed drinks as you possibly can, all right?
All right, we
did
go
you
back
hear that?
Forth.
Did both of you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, did you hear that?
Yep.
And Steve?
Yeah.
So what did I just ask you to do?
You asked me to name some drinks.
Name as many mixed drinks as you can. Okay?
Okay.
Ready, set, go!
Gin and tonic.
Vodka tonic, smoothie and fizz, a whiskey
navel,
sour, a rusty nail, a pink squirrel,
rum runner,
bourbon and coke, you got
slippery nipples.
A martini,
you got, Jack and Coke.
You got a chocolate martini, you got a cosmopolitan,
you got
a margarita, you got a pina colada, you got a strawberry daiquiri.
You got a Malibu and cranberry, you got a, you got all
kinds
of
stuff. You got a sweet iced tea with an extra side of sauce.
You got a mudslide, you got Jack
you got
and
a hurricane, you got an earthquake, you got a tornado.
You got cereal with beer. You got
cereal with beer! That's awesome. Both you guys win.
All right.
Jesus, are you guys... Let me ask you, are you guys bartenders?
No, I'm an alcoholic.
I'm an alcoholic. Okay, good. Because when you guys were saying, you got your mudslides, you got it. It sounded like I was sitting across the bar listening to two guys tell me what they could make for me.
I just hear that a lot.
You just hear that a lot?
Yeah.
Mudslide, Malibu, and what did you say? Was it Steve? You said a Malibu and what?
No, this is Steve Nick. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. That wasn't me.
Yes, you didn't say a Malibu. What'd you say, Kevin, about a Malibu and something? Malibu and cranberry. I thought
that
I
was
some...
Steve.
Yes,
they always
said that. Boy, that is a chick drink, ain't it? I'm kidding. All right, guys, you win.
Hey, oh, yeah, Jay Santos. Malibu and cranberry, man. My girlfriend orders that.
Yeah, I know they do. I know. I got it. My wife does Absolute and cranberry, and it, you know, I turn my head and hide.
I know. Sometimes I go cheap and I get the call brand. You know,
yeah, and I like that beer and cereal. Okay, look, you guys win a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt for your contributions today. It's a beautiful shirt. Just give the size to Chris, and we'll get it out to you. All right?
Thank you very much.
All right, man. Always happy to do it. See ya. Bye. Hit the bell again, man.
Sorry.
Jesus. Everybody's brain dead today. And would you believe, you know what? That's it. I'm not taking any more calls this half hour. Those two guys were the only usable calls that we had. Everybody else had their thumb up their ass. So we're not taking any more phone calls for the rest of this hour and possibly the rest of the show. I'm giving away something. That's really, you know what it is? It's my fault. I go from talking about serial killers to drinks. I thought it fit together perfectly. I thought the idea of mixed drinks and serial murder just blended together perfectly. I will tell you this much. I've been watching Fox News. They've been in Tacoma, Washington, talking to a lot of the people. There was one guy, and I think maybe you know who I'm talking about, that they were talking to that had a mullet that was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. In this day and age, with all of the crap that people give you for wearing a mullet, that a guy would actually stand in front of a TV camera with that hairdo, and, you know, the guy was very literate, and, you know, I say literate. I mean, he was cognizant and spoke to the news crew about what they may be involved in that neighborhood. But all I could do was focus on that haircut. I mean, he had that full do up top and then that whole shave thing going down the back right down his shoulders. Really groovy, baby. And, of course, we can now proclaim Washington State as another mullet area. I always thought it was basically the South, particularly Central Florida. But the state of Washington, and in regards to the state of Washington, I speak specifically of Tacoma, the mullet's alive and well, booby. All right. Here's this thing I was going to tell you about. This is from ABC News. They are hot on the heels of this cat who is the anthrax killer. His name is Stephen Hatfill. You heard about this guy, right? Now, I take you back a year when, once again, we had experts saying that it was Al-Qaeda and it was a terrorist organization and it was a militia organization and it was this and it was that. And I was on the show saying, this is a domestic terrorist. This is probably an individual, one person. This is someone who was inspired to do this through hysteria that was caused by 9/11. This isn't the writing of somebody who is from another country. And if it was Al-Qaeda, why are they sending anthrax to the National Enquirer and Tom Daschle? What is that about? Nobody, of course, asks these questions. They think that it's Al-Qaeda because they think Al-Qaeda is so smart that they'll send the anthrax and then we'll think it's a domestic guy, but in point of fact, it's really them, or we will think it's them, but then we won't. You know what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. The FBI is using an elite team of specially trained dogs and leads from agents deployed to Africa in its investigation of former government scientist Stephen Hatfill and his possible role in the five anthrax deaths. Authorities say they are building what is described as a growing circumstantial evidence case. Their secret weapon has been a three-member team of bloodhounds from California. Tinkerbell from the South Pasadena Police, Knight from the L.A. County Sheriff's Office, and Lucy from the Long Beach Police. These bloodhounds, considered by the FBI to be the best in the country, were each given the scent extracted from anthrax letters posted last year, and each, independently, then led handlers to the Maryland apartment of the same man, Stephen Hatfill. I'm told that one of these bloodhounds is actually named Sergeant Tinkerbell, so forgive me. One of the bloodhounds, Lucy, then led handlers directly to Hatfield. Now, bloodhounds are amazing dogs, and if we use them more often, we could use them in missing kid cases. Generally, police don't have bloodhounds on the scene for a few hours after a child is abducted, and then it's most probably too late in terms of the life of that kid. Now, I learned that from a very fine lady by the name of Claudine Rice, who lost her son down in Miami. She started the Jimmy Rice Center, which we helped fund through a couple of golf tournaments. Anyway, listen to this. The dogs are regularly flown in for high-profile assignments, such as the serial sniper case terrorizing the Washington, D.C. area. While he is not officially called a suspect, Hatfield is clearly the main focus of the FBI, even as he continues to deny any involvement. I never worked with anthrax in my life, Hatfield told reporters August 12th. One of the things about these guys, as you know, they're wonderful liars. They're the best. They're the best you've ever seen. Sociopaths and psychopaths are the best liars that you've ever seen in your life. Hatfield's apartment has been repeatedly searched, his blood samples tested, and now the FBI is telling government officials in a general way it's making a great deal of progress. Check this out. The FBI reportedly has had success with two teams of agents sent to Africa. Hatfield developed expertise with anthrax there in the late 70s and 80s, where he attended medical school. While living there, he lived near a Greendale primary school while he was attending medical school. A Greendale primary school. Greendale School was the phony return address used in the anthrax-laced letters sent to lawmakers and the media last fall. Oh, I get it, Dr. Hatfield. Just a horrible, horrible coincidence. It's also a horrible coincidence that you work with anthrax, that you went to medical school near a place called Greendale Primary School, and that you helped author a paper on how one might send anthrax through the mail. It's also a horrible, horrible coincidence, Dr. Hatfield, that the amount of anthrax that a terrorist would use in this particular report, you speculated could be 2.5 grams. About the same amount that was sent to Patrick Leahy, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. But I realize this is all just a horrific coincidence, isn't it? Who do you think you're kidding, pal? And I'd like all of you to remember where we were a year ago when those people were dying from this disease. When that man at the National Enquirer, that photographer, when that old lady, when that young woman in New York, the people that got sick, the people that were tested, we putting this guy out? Is he feeling bad about what's happening to him right now? Is he feeling put out and put upon? I hope they hang this scumbag by his thumbs. Yeah, Dr. Hatfield, I mean you. You and whatever pal you were working with. I hope they hang you by your testicles, pal. And then I hope they take a big vial of anthrax and jam it up your ass. How do you feel about that? I hope they get you. I hope they have a nice 48 to 72 hour interrogation. And when they bring you out for the trial, you look a little worse for the wear. Then they find you guilty. And then they hang you by your testicles with a vial of anthrax crammed right up the lower colon. And for good measure, a baseball bat shoved in after that. How do you feel about that one, Doc? Would you like to sue me for slander? Well, go ahead. Go ahead, sue me. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, from yesterday's show, we got kind of an interesting moment with Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and two veterans Jay Santos said that he was going to pull over all vans and delivery vans and SUVs, take a belt sander to the door, and chip off the paint to see if it had been recently painted. If so, you might have the D.C. area sniper. Well, one of the veterans that called in was another guy named Lloyd. I'm doing the voice of both Jay and Lloyd in this bit. Let's listen from
Phil
yesterday.
Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm retired military. I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what, I drive a van. I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem and you're going to have it.
Sir,
you ain't searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun. You're a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about, mental imbalance?
You know our Vietnam vet, sir. It came back a little cracked. Messed up in the head?
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
That's
up in the head.
Yeah,
now.
That is absolutely unfair. The 99.9% of our Vietnam vet...
Come on, Phil, you know the stories, you've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up to one of your flare drops,
okay,
you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested.
Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella, and as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would... Oh, boy. You don't even... And I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir.
You gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me, and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out, and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir. I mean,
that's how strong...
See what I'm talking about, and this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No.
What?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd Vaseline up their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a second, okay?
See, I was called a faggot, and this all got...
Well, you are a faggot.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about...
Yes, that's right. We'd sodomize a man.
Not me.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete. And you want to see it?
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me.
Well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Subcommander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy ass pith helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I beg pardon? I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be
police.
A certified police officer.
I'd poke you in the rear end. That's what I'd do.
No, you want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning the guys that have the cars that get to ride in the cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And be in a car
with real cops.
Why don't you answer the man's question?
I don't think. There's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. All we're trying to do is save lives.
You're not saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family.
All right. I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil. I don't know if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
I want to give her my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Ass Kick Street.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
All right. Yeah. 123 Ass Kick Street. That's where Lloyd lives. Don't forget it, too, man. All right, you can hear that bit and many, 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 many others on our website, philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com, and you can hear not only that, but our audio archives, the last 30 days' worth of shows, and our free weekend if you want to check out the live streaming audio and the recorded audio archives and our webcast archive. If you want to hear what we got on our website, we got a free weekend coming up November 22nd through the 24th. Mark it down. All weekend long, you can go in to the Phil Henry Show website, listen to all of the classic bits that we've got. Some of them go back 7, 8 years, different generations of the Phil Henry Show. And that will be the weekend just prior to Thanksgiving, the 22nd to the 24th, the weekend just prior to Thanksgiving. And you can check out everything that we have for you there. And I guarantee you'll want to be a backstage pass member for only $6.95 a month. $6.95, that's all it is. And if you get it for 6 months or a year, it's even cheaper. So log on to philhenryshow.com. PhilHenryShow.com.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And I'm going to talk now with Vernon Dozier off the subject of the Washington sniper. Mr. Dozier, what has your attorney said?
Yes, sir. My attorney and this lady's attorney are talking, but this is something that my wife started. My wife...
And we're talking now about the injury sustained by your neighbor?
My wife has insisted year in and year out on erecting this Frankenstein-style monster in our front yard for Halloween. I have said, and I have tried to make this point repeatedly to a couple of newspapers, especially in light of 9/11, Halloween decorations are already over the line because unlike other holidays, they cause fear, they can cause panic. We all have, at this time of year, a general anxiety disorder.
You know, it's funny, and I'm just speaking for myself, Halloween decorations do not frighten me.
There are some people, and I think you might be a little bit immune, Phil, because you are of your position in the media, but there are some people, many people, who are scared enough without this cheap assault on the nervous system that Halloween represents. Now, I have been medicated for what's called general anxiety disorder since 9/11. I have asked my wife not to put up this Frankenstein thing because in the dark it can give you a real fright. And I don't know if any of your listeners or yourself, Mr. Henry, have ever walked by a mannequin, for instance.
You mean imagining that that's a real thing and jumping?
Well, it does. It gives you a little bit of a scare. In the dark, when my wife would put this Frankenstein monster up for the kids in the front yard during Halloween, it looked a little real and gave me a start, and I asked her, and I basically told her not to put it up. Not to put it up. She told me she would not put it up, and she made one of her jokes about me being effeminate, but I swallowed it.
It sounds like you have a contentious relationship with your wife about Halloween.
I have a great marriage, and we love each other very much, but she likes to stick it in and turn it and then break it off when it comes to the fears that I have about Halloween. I know it's a kid's holiday. I know it's for little tiny kids. And I know it sounds probably ridiculous to perhaps a portion of your audience to listen to a grown man, but I have an anxiety disorder, and many people have this, and after 9/11, a lot of people are afraid, and Halloween represents a cheap and, I think, underhanded assault on the nervous system.
When you call it an underhanded cheap assault, you mean the decorations,
I mean it all. I mean the Dracula costumes, the ghoulish, the Frankenstein masks. All of that is intended to do one thing, and that's to scare seven shades of crap out of every...
All right, I had to dump that, sir, and I ask you to watch your language.
I'm sorry.
So Halloween, you say, is intended to scare people?
I believe it is.
Tell me about this injury to your neighbor.
The night before last...
And we're, by the way, speaking with Vernon Dozier. He lives in South Pasadena, California. Your attorney and the neighbor's attorney are going back and forth. Is this a female attorney?
No, sir. This is the man who lives next door to me. He's a very good friend of mine. And that's part of what's bothering me.
Go ahead.
The night before last, I came home. I got... and there it was. My wife had told me... She had told me she'd taken it down, and I don't know how you deal with your fears, but Dr. Tomley had told me to be proactive, and my wife, I believe, had not taken this thing down. I carry a PR-24 under the seat of my truck. My brother is a military police officer. Now, a PR-24 is a...
Well, I know what it is. It's like a billy club?
It is a martial arts-style billy club. I carry one of those under the seat of my car, and I can tell you, sir, I know how to use it. And I saw this Frankenstein, or what I thought was the Frankenstein, on my front lawn. I fired out of my truck, and I went over to this thing. I hit it with a headshot, a chest shot, and a direct couple of shots to the arms, and it went down like a sack of potatoes. It was not, however, a stuffed Frankenstein. It was a human being.
Well, it was a neighbor of yours, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. This was a person. I had every reason to believe it was a stuffed monster, and it was a person. And I will tell you that my wife and other people that celebrate Halloween and think it's so much fun almost killed a man that night. And
so I gather you're blaming your wife.
If my attorney spoke to you already?
Your attorney spoke to my producer, Miss Ngaro. So, are you blaming your wife for this?
I'd like to ask you who else I'm supposed to blame.
How about you?
I told her to take the Frankenstein monster down from the front yard.
And she did.
Well, okay, first of all, I didn't know whether she did or not, because this man is...
Well, who? This guy that you hit... And I understand his name is Mr. Donald Olander.
That's right. He was on his. He's a friend of mine. He's my next door neighbor. He was on his way across my front lawn to get one of his kids from my house.
And why was he? I don't understand.
Well, this is what Halloween decorations do. They create panic. They increase a general anxiety disorder.
Well, this guy was just standing there.
My wife had his son over with our son. Said he would be out. And this is what Halloween decorations done, and he's now in a city hospital, and I think they'll be able to reset his jaw, but...
All right, I'm going to give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We got off of our city news line, Mr. Vernon Dozier, who is speaking, and I think we're going to have your attorney on later?
My attorney is here, yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to talk with him about you taking a billy club and basically beating up a neighbor of yours with it, not knowing it was your neighbor, thinking it was some Halloween decoration.
In the dark, it is entirely possible.
You also say that, you know, you did this because you have a general anxiety disorder after 9/11?
For which I'm being medicated, yes, sir.
It's not very good medication, is it?
Well, it's good medication, but...
Well, what kind is it?
I take Effexor, sir.
Okay, so this is an anti-medication...
It's called an anti-anxiety medication, but it doesn't work too good when your wife lies to you.
But your wife didn't lie to you. She had taken the Frankenstein down, right?
But the pattern of her making fun of the fact that I get scared of, you know, the goblin costumes and things like that, all right?
Made you believe that she hadn't taken it down?
She led me to believe she hadn't taken it down. So when I took the PR-24 to Mr. Olander, I thought that it was a stuffed goblin, a stuffed goblin Frankenstein. And my wife will take any opportunity to stick it in, twist it, and then break it off. And I can tell you...
What does your wife find your anxiety funny?
Oh, she thinks it's effeminate. She thinks it's... I will tell them, let me step in, if I could, and simply say to you that my wife had the boy over, the little boy, the next-door neighbor, and this is what Halloween decorations do. They inspire fear, paranoia. I believe that it is a, following 9/11, a horrible thing to put a man through.
You're really scared of Halloween, huh?
I am. Look.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe. Are you frightened of Halloween?
Look, imagine, if you will, somebody who's afraid of going across a bridge. It doesn't sound too sensible, but there are people who are. Imagine, if you will, someone who's afraid of heights. I am not. Perhaps you are.
Yes, I am.
All right. Imagine, if you will, someone who washes their hands. I know it's obsessive compulsive, but Halloween scares the living Christ out of me. And it's because of that that I am proposing that these Halloween decorations that these people out here put up, and I see it every year, they got the tombstones, and they have a ghoul head. All right, could I step in, Mr. Henry?
Now, is this Mr. Wireman?
Yes. Mr. Henry, let me just say, we believe that Halloween is an anachronism. It is a perverse holiday that exacerbates the anxiety of 9/11. And it's a celebration of death. And we certainly don't need anything like that. This man's wife stuck it in, turned it, and then broke it off.
All right. Hold on the line, both of you, Mr. Wireman and Mr. Dozier.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
1-800-449-8686. There is a lawsuit that's going back and forth on this, by the way. But basically, this guy is blaming his wife for the fact that he took a police martial arts billy club and beat a neighbor up with it, thinking that his neighbor was a Halloween decoration that his wife didn't take down. Is it my understanding, Mr. Dozier, sir, are you there?
I'm right here.
Is it my understanding that you believe Halloween decorations need to be taken down?
I think that Halloween decorations purposefully provoke people who have a anxiety after 9/11. They purposely provoke people into acts of violence. If there hadn't been Halloween decorations, I beat this man for a good 7 to 9 minutes.
Oh, good God!
Yes. That's right.
With a PR-24.
Yes.
And for people out there who don't know what that is, that's the billy stick they beat Rodney King with.
That is correct, sir.
And for a good 7 to 9 minutes.
I was jacked up. Because she said she'd take the Frankenstein down. Okay? And she did. But this guy's standing there where the Frankenstein had been. Now, you put two and two together with a wife that likes to stick it in, turn it, and break it off, and you got yourself... the possibility that it's a Frankenstein.
Why would you beat for 7 to 9 minutes some straw-stuffed Halloween...
Well, this is the disease, sir.
Some straw-stuffed Halloween decoration.
This is the disease, sir. Henry, I want to jump in. You have to understand, this is what the anxiety does when people provoke you with a Halloween decoration. Now, halfway through, my client stopped, smoked a cigarette, went inside and made a sandwich, and then came back out and continued beating this thing.
That is, it's not even rational.
No, it's not rational. But this is what happens when these people put these Halloween decorations out as if to say, tough, you scared? I don't think it's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Terry, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This guy is a jerk. He's blaming his total insecurities to be any kind of a human, whatever, in the capacity that he fills on other people.
Wait a second.
Wait a second for what?
What gives you the right to put Halloween decorations up as a provocation and a celebration of death?
What gives you the right to smack the crap out of your neighbor when you come up with some excuse that it's a dummy or some scarecrow?
Sir, I thought that my neighbor Now, you have to understand.
This Mr. Olander is sight impaired, right?
That is correct.
All right, so this is a blind man standing on a lawn.
I can't believe I'm hearing this conversation.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Olander is a dear friend of mine. A very dear friend of mine.
You took a PR-24, you beat a friend of yours because you thought it was a stuffed Frankenstein.
Can you not hear when you smack somebody with that thing? You said you dislocated his jaw. Could you not hear the crack?
Sir, I can only tell you this much.
Could you not hear the buckling of his knees?
Sir, I can tell you this much. You people that put up Halloween decorations because you think you're being funny.
How do you know I put up Halloween directions?
Halloween,
how do you know I
Halloween
put them up?
Directions. I'm talking about decorations. I don't need directions to Halloween. I'm talking about Halloween.
Look, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Halloween decorations being a provocation against people like myself with general anxiety disorder, and we're talking about a post-9/11 situation. Now, you talk to the people out there. They're scared to death.
Talk to me. I'm not scared to death.
You drive by these goblins.
I'm scared to death.
What about
I'm
the
scared
goblin?
To death. I'm scared to death of people like you.
Okay, so in other words, when you drive by someone's house and you see those bats that they put up with the string, that doesn't scare you?
No.
But you would.
No.
Walking around with a P-24 beating the crap out of blind people.
Sir,
I feel bad that you've got some anxiety.
Mr. Henry, I want to jump in. My client suffers from general anxiety disorder.
I understand that.
Don't blame it on other people.
Well, you have to take into consideration that after 9/11, the putting up of Halloween decorations is a provocation. And
maybe flying a plane is a provocation.
It's a provocation. I'd like to finish. I don't know who the gentleman is that's talking.
Well, this is a caller of mine, okay?
Well, I don't know.
I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Well, why don't you listen and learn, okay, Charlie?
Now, his name is Terry, okay?
Whatever.
Yeah, Terry.
First of all, Halloween, and you put up a stuffed ghoul and you think somebody's supposed to walk by and just think that's fine. Is that it, sir?
They've done it for centuries.
Well, I don't think stuffing a Frankenstein, putting it up on a front lawn with a client like mine, and suddenly this guy and his wife sticks it in and breaks it.
Yeah, twists it and breaks it off.
Been there, done that.
I beg your pardon?
Heard it, been there, done that. Been here for 5 minutes.
Look, my daughter puts out a pumpkin.
Does she do anything having to do with ghoul or... what about the goblin?
Yeah, she does a couple of goblins. It doesn't scare me.
All right. You know something, sir? I don't care whether it scares you or not. I am telling you and all of your listeners that we are demanding that Halloween decorations not go up post 9/11 and that they take them down. And for as long as we are dealing with this terror situation...
You're a volatile person.
Yes, sir, I am. And dry ice pouring out of a black
You don't need to have your. You need to have your civil rights.
You listen to me.
All right, now hold on, Mister.
No. You guys, hold on. Now you listen to me, and you listen good. Dry ice pouring out. Yeah. Okay. You know, man, I'd kick your ass if you were standing here. What do you think about that? Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the problem you're having right now.
Dry ice pouring out of a black cauldron causes me to lose continence. I guess you're going to laugh at that.
Pants?
Yes, I pee in my pants. Go ahead, laugh.
It is pretty funny.
I definitely wouldn't go to Halloween party at school.
Right. Listen, Terry, thanks for calling. So you guys are asking...
We are asking, mister, let me have the phone. I just want to say I can... Hold on for a minute. We are asking that Halloween decorations are a direct provocation and following 9/11 should be taken down, especially when you consider that there are a great many Americans who are now highly anxious, and I guess some people think it's funny to put tombstones out, and I saw the witch, what do you call it, Mr. Henry?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what does a witch do?
A witch is it's a freaking, get out of here, will you?
No, it's the cauldron and all of that bat stuff.
All right, hold on for a minute. Okay, so this guy has got a whole, let's see what the cat's doing now is he's going around to his homeowners association and saying, no Halloween decorations. No Halloween decorations because it is provoking people who have anxiety about the current climate of terror in America. Do you think it's fair, folks, to take down your Halloween decorations, just do the trick-or-treat, and make sure the kids are only dressed in hobo or ballerina costumes, but no ghoul or anything like that? Don't you think that's the least we could do for people who suffer from anxiety about 9/11? Or do you think it's too much to ask? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, on the line with me is Vernon Dozier and his attorney, Harvey Weierman. Mr. Dozier is making an effort at getting these Halloween costumes down. We don't have a lot of time. I have a lady on the line here. Dana, you have general anxiety disorder?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. This is Vernon Dozier, ma'am.
Okay.
Do you take Effexor?
I have taken Effexor. I had a horrible allergic reaction to it. It made me have seizures.
Okay. But don't you find it a little bit soothing to be able to take, just to rip the head off of something?
Actually, no, sir.
My kid had a ghoul costume, and I wanted to tear his face off, and I realized it wasn't a mask.
I think you went too far. Honestly, sir, I think you went way too far.
All right, Dana, I tell you what, we got a break coming up. Will you hold on? Because we'd like to talk with you a little bit about this anxiety thing, okay?
She's got an anxiety. Henry, I'd rather you not make my client look like an idiot.
Hold on for a minute. I'm not helping him do that. He's doing it himself. 1-800-449-8686. Should we take down Halloween decorations because they cause post-9/11 anxiety?
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All
right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. And Mr. Dozier's with me. I understand you are suffering from general anxiety disorder.
I'd like to jump in, Phil.
And this is Mr. Weierman, the attorney.
Yes. Millions of Americans suffer from general anxiety disorder. This is nothing new. And how we are protecting all of them by getting these Halloween decorations down.
I'd like to say something if I could, Mr. Hendry. I want to tell you people right now, you and who, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I will tell you, I will give one warning to people on my street to get those GD.
Calm down now.
I know, don't tell me to calm down, okay?
Are you all right?
I'm fine. They get one warning to get those GD decorations down, or they're going to find a nice surprise in their jack-o'-lantern. Now, I will tell you, as infantile as it sounds.
Come on, Brian.
No, I swear to God.
What are you saying?
I will leave something in that jack-o'-lantern. I'll pull my pants down.
All right, come on. If you want to be grown up about it, we can be grown up.
Well, I'm trying to be grown up, but I got people laughing behind my back. They want me to be a child, I'll be a child. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be whatever you want. I'm your puppet.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8666. Now, Dana, you have general anxiety disorder.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so.
Much like Mr. Dozier.
Yes, and had it for 9 years.
Dana, have you ever taken Wellbutrin or...
I've taken so many medications, sir, that I couldn't even name them all right now, and I have been hospitalized for it as well.
Okay. Can you imagine coming down your street and you see some goblin that your wife told you that she took down, and there it is.
All right,
I reach under my seat.
Calm down, okay?
Tell me to calm down, okay?
Just calm down, all right?
Okay.
Calm down,
okay.
Vernon, yeah?
I can visualize it. I understand.
Just calm down, all right?
This is my honest opinion on it, and I'm not starting this to be vindictive whatsoever.
Take your hands off me. I have
general anxiety disorder. Yes. I have had instances where I hallucinate, but it does not prevent my functioning as a human being, and it is my strong opinion that medication does not fix all of it. You need counseling and you need family support. And yes, it is very difficult when your family doesn't understand it. But I believe that if it's getting to the point where, you know, You're actually displacing these feelings of being uncomfortable.
I'll bet you right now.
And physically beating something or someone that there's a misdiagnosis, and I feel like you're using this as a crutch.
I have to ask Phil because I know Liza. Is this Liza Minnelli? Because I do know Liza.
No, I'm 21 years old.
I'm a truck driver.
What do you mean, Liza Minnelli?
I can still function as a human being.
Dana, this is Vernon Dozier. I'm going to tell you, I've got blocks and blocks of government cheese in my freezer. Now, you know what kind of soup that'll fill your jack-o'-lantern with. And,
you're feeding into the terrorism. If you are so absolutely against what society is doing to you and your fears and paranoia, then you would ask for help
instead of being angry and violent. I don't want to be violent, but when I come down my street and there is a goblin.
And when you say a goblin, you know it's fake, right?
Yes, I know it's fake, but...
What about Christmas decorations?
Those are fine.
They don't scare you.
That makes you feel good. The elves did make me scared for a while, but I'm...
Do you have a problem with, like, Easter or...
No, sir, I do not.
Do you have a problem with the 4th of July?
No, of course I don't.
I have certain problems with those holidays, but I don't do these things. I know many people that have a problem with Valentine's Day, but they don't go around going to this extent.
And Santa Claus makes me happy.
They
use
temporary insanity and medical conditions as a crutch to let people get away and not take responsibility for their actions, which is detrimental to our society and people's growth.
Let me ask you a question. I want to know. You've been on so much medication, Dana. I bet you've left a surprise here or there.
Now, that's not a question to ask, is it?
No, I want the lady to
No, I'm
know.
Very honest. Go ahead. Ask me a question.
Have you left a surprise in someone's jack-o'-lantern because you have felt the fear?
No.
That
No.
Oh, come on.
You've taken a dump in a jack-o'-lantern?
I would not be so crude.
No, I have never done anything that stupid. I'm sorry, but that is really ridiculous.
Did you say that holidays scare you, Dana?
No, I said that certain holidays, I do not agree with whatsoever.
How does St. Patrick's Day strike you?
A certain amount of anxiety. It
scares me, I'll tell you that.
Have you ever left a dew in a candy bowl for a kid? Because that's the kind of thing...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Jimmy, who is a former Green Beret. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, I personally think the guy's got a serious problem. He's using some type of anxiety disorder as an excuse for taking responsibility for his actions.
Can I speak, Mr.? I'm the attorney. Jimmy, you're a Green Beret, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. I was with the United States Marines at Saipan, WW2. Okay.
That's wonderful, but
I understand what fear is. You
want
to know anxiety? Fine, have those Japs pour that hot oil down those cliffs on you. That's anxiety.
The Bataan
Death March was...
Well, are we going to talk about your war record?
No, I want to mention...
I'm telling you, this guy here is not holding up to his responsibility. And then he turns around and he does the same thing by threatening people and causing more fear and more anxiety on his street.
No, wait a minute.
Man, you need to get a grip of yourself, man.
Wait a second. All I said was I'd leave a surprise in a jack-o'-lantern.
You know? That's crazy, you know?
What's crazy about it?
What do you mean, what's crazy about it?
How many people
walk around dropping their drawers, taking a dump in that jack-o'-lantern? Think about it, my friend.
Your back's up against the wall, what else have you got?
Well, I have my back up against the wall, protecting the rights for people
like
you.
That's right.
And you know what? You need to take responsibility for who you are and what you do.
Nobody else, not your lawyer, none of that other mess, man.
You need to take responsibility for you.
That is very true, Jimmy, and it's coming from a military guy.
But I want to ask the question, Jimmy. You were in the United States military as a Green Beret. When your back was up against the wall and you had nowhere to turn...
He dropped his pants and took a dump.
Did you?
No, I did not.
No, he did not.
When it comes time for that...
The question bears repeating.
It's an idiotic question.
I'll tell you the truth. Here's the bottom line right here. When your back is up against the wall, then you got to stand up and take it like a man and do what you got
to
do. But take it like that way, my friend.
I did what I had to do, and now everybody's making fun of me. And then when I took the PR-10824 and I beat the hell out of the Frankenstein's ghoul, now I'm doing that wrong, too.
You didn't beat the hell out of the Frankenstein ghoul. You beat hell out of a blind next-door neighbor.
You beat a man who you claim to be your best friend.
My dear friend.
You understand what I'm saying?
I love him.
You know what? You don't know what love is, my
friend. You beat a guy for 7 to 9 minutes with a PR-24, your best friend.
Yeah. And
can I ask you a question?
I hope that by every bit of unction of my being, that you go to jail for exactly what you did.
Absolutely. Now, I want to ask a question. What is the... There's a $2,000 matter here. What is that?
I killed the seeing eye dog as well, but the situation...
You beat the man and his dog.
Yes, sir. Oh, see, all of a sudden you want me to go to jail because you think it's funny.
Hold on for a minute. My client may have beaten the dog.
Oh, come on. Jimmy, thank you very much for your call.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. Who? Yeah, Don.
Bill, this is Don Berman of Channel 19 News, reminding you that tonight you can see all the sports with Fred Eisman, and, of course, gold showers with the weather...
Get out of here.
Bill, I want to say that with all of my heart and soul, I believe that I will come out victorious in this lawsuit. I am sorry for only one thing, beating the dog to death. The man, I thought it was a Frankenstein monster. But
you beat the dog to death, not with a PR-24. You went into your trunk of your car and pulled out a 9-iron, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Went into the house, had a cigarette, had a sandwich, pounded on your friend, went to the trunk of your car, pulled a 9-iron out, and a bag of teas.
He was enjoying himself.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I think we know where that lawsuit is headed. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, what's the latest here? By the way, the voice of Harvey Wireman and Vernon Dozier were performed by me, and that's kind of how we do our show. And if you'd like to know more, you can visit our website. I know you're not quite understanding what it is you just heard. You're right. That was me doing the voice of Harvey and of Vernon Dozier, and the people that called in were real people who wanted to talk to Vernon about taking a dump in a jack-o'-lantern. It all happens here on The Phil Hendry Show, the only talk show in the history of radio that can actually entertain a topic like that seriously. Now, our free weekend is going to be November the 22nd to the 24th, and what that means is you can log on to our website. You'll have access to all of our archives. You'll have access to our 30-day archive and just a lot of things that ordinarily would cost you $6.95 a month. You get in and listen to it free the 22nd to the 24th. And then get a backstage pass. And also, on the 20th, will be our second annual webcast, where we will have that really cool 360-degree camera that you can sort of scroll the studio, and you can see Craig and everybody, and Janice and Chris, and then you can go into our office. We'll be prepping the show. You never know who's going to stop by. Last year, Dr. Laura came in. Who's generally... I try to remember, because every now and again, somebody will stick their head. Lisa Gibbons came in one day, remember? And then Gabby Hayes. No, I'm kidding. I don't know who. It's just a few people. You know. Well, Jim Rome came in one day. Mike Reagan always sticks his head in going, hey, how you doing? I'm President Reagan's son. Yeah, I know. I got that, Jim. No, Michael, you're a great guy, man. And congratulations on the terrific numbers here in L.A. And Michael, the highest rated cat over there on KLAC. That's pretty cool. And are the Angels playing tonight? What a ball game last night. 10-4, the Halos, as they're called. Let me tell you a little bit about the Angels, if I could, because I have a perspective. And I have a perspective as a kid who grew up in Los Angeles. The Angels never, ever were an interesting team to anybody that I knew. And there was only one time that my father would ever let us go to Dodger Stadium to see an American League game, let alone an Angel game, because we were Dodger fans all the way through, and that was to see the Yankees. We would go out to Chavez Ravine, because the Angels never called it Dodger Stadium in those days. They would not ever call it Dodger Stadium. They called it Chavez Ravine because Dodger Stadium is built in a place called Chavez Ravine, which, by the way, was not built without a lot of political unrest and a lot of bad feelings. And I still remember seeing people dragged out of their houses by L.A. County Sheriff so they could bulldoze the houses and begin the building of Dodger Stadium. I mean, this is all historic stuff. The Angels finally moved in there. They were called the Los Angeles Angels, and they had, actually in the early years, some really interesting players, including a guy by the name of Bo Bolinski. And Bo Bolinski was a pitcher for the Angels who dated Mamie Van Doren and every blonde bombshell, and the guy was whack. I mean, the cat, you know, was a nightclub-hopping, real Hollywood guy. And he had a name, Bo. And not only that, he was a good pitcher. The guy, like, won 20 games a year for, like, two seasons in a row. And this was the Angels. And they were goofy, and they were weird, and nobody cared about them, and they just get out of here, okay? So they moved down to Anaheim. Then they put on the pajamas for about 20 years. They wore those freaking elastic... Anybody's an old baseball fan, you remember those 1970 elastic pajama pants? You don't know the hell that baseball went through in the 70s. Between the Houston Astros uniforms and the pajamas that the Baltimore Orioles, and then, and you're not going to believe this one, Janice, this happened. This happened in America. I was there. I saw it. The Chicago White Sox one season wore shorts. Dwight knows. That's right. Sure. How did they slide, man? How did they slide? They wore shorts with old-time collared baseball uniform. There was a thing going on in the 70s where they wanted to do throwback uniforms. The flat stovetop hat with the stripes around it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think. The only teams that retained their tradition, thank God, were the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Detroit Tigers, the Boston Red Sox, and I think that's it. I think everybody else went to like powder blue. The Phillies looked horrible. The Pirates, it was a disgrace because the Pirates had such a great tradition with Mazeroski and Stargell and Roberto Clemente, and there they are wearing a kind of pea yellow and puke green. I don't know what it was. So this was the Angels all through those years. And they had a pitcher by the name of Nolan Ryan. Maybe you heard about the guy. He won about 6 million games and threw the ball 480,000 miles an hour. And the guy, but the Angels, what did they do? Traded him away because he was over the hill. Yeah, thank you. Guy went on to the Houston Astros. And then came 82 when they were up by 2 games on the Milwaukee Brewers. They blow that. Then comes 86. Everybody by now knows the story. Dave Henderson off of Donnie Moore. Donnie, 3 years, 4 years later, takes his life. I mean, how tragic, how horrifying. Now they come along and they get down to the basic red. They got the red uniform, the red helmet. They got a guy by the name of Mike Socha, who's a terrific guy, a great father, a great man, and also one hell of a baseball manager. And he also brought along that nutcase Mickey Hatcher. And they got a ball club that's interesting to watch. And this is coming from a guy who told you guys back in August, please go on strike. I hope you guys go on strike, and I hope you never come back. Remember when I said that? Well, I've changed my mind. Thank you. I'm Phil Hendry.
I'm Rush Limbaugh, and I think I'll be liberal today.
And they beat the Giants last night 10-4. They hated San Francisco Giants. The scum of the earth, San Francisco Giants. I don't care about your new ballpark. I don't care about your town. I don't care about Barry Bonds. I didn't care about Bobby Bonds. All of you can die. Thank you. The San Francisco Giants, I hate. And I hate them with good reason, because they took a baseball bat to Johnny Roseboro, and I have never forgiven them for that, including Juan Marichal. And the Giants will never win a World Series as long as they're in San Francisco. They've never won a World Series as long as they've been there. They lost to the Yankees. They lost to the A's. They're going to lose to the Angels. They're just going to lose. They're losers. And I am taking the greatest of delight watching the Giant organization go up in flames yet again. What? What?
Phil, Don Berman here, reminding you that Golden Showers has all the weather...
Will you shut up?
Frank Aspen with sports.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Be back tomorrow with more crap. Don't forget our website, and remember, of course, our free weekend and our webcast on December the 20th, which you don't want to miss. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E-Show.com. Pick up the backstage pass. check out that free weekend, man. Then pick up a backstage pass and you get all of our audio. It is classic material. And also, we're on Fox News Channel this week. I hope we get on Fox News Channel sometime this week. If they're not videotaping, like, see, they're following the truck with the stump in it, so maybe I'll get bumped for the stump. Phil gets bumped for the stump. Anyway, sometime this week we'll be on Fox News Channel, so check that out.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.